This is CliffCentral.com. Keeping it real.
My name, by the way, Joao.
Well, now they do. Okay. So we are hanging out. It is the Capital wrap up, and I do have a stand-in co-star today, Joao Matthews. So hey. Say what up, dog.
I'm gonna preface this with before because I don't know a lot about. Because the show is about SA Hip Hop, right?
Yeah. Well, hip hop in general.
Oh, okay. Besides my favorites, aka
Nasty
C.
But
if it comes to, do you go underground?
Not or really.
Then I should be fine.
Yeah, we keep it above the surface. You sound a bit nervous, Doug.
Dude, I'm like, if you had to, because you know the reason I'm nervous is rap fans are they're the worst, man.
Yeah, they're
you
know? The toughest, right?
Exactly.
They can't be worse than football fans. I promise you that.
What?
they cannot be worse.
I think they're on
fans.
The same level, man.
Right? They're both.
As a football fan, I take offense. I think they're.
Who do you support? Just on the football side.
Arsenal, man.
Oh wow! Yeah. Oh wow! You must be still in your coffin from last night,
man. Like, when they scored the second goal,
yeah.
I just stood outside and looked at the stars. I was like,
so for those of you guys who don't know, Joao, who is joining me, is from the football show right here on Cliff Central. They actually just got off right now, so we're gonna make a couple of football references. I might tease him a bit about his team getting their ass whipped. It's pretty cool. Without further ado, man, we're gonna get into some music. Firstly, Bruno Mars was accused of jacking the now Grammy Award-winning Uptown Funk.
What?
From a '70s group. Yeah, man. The Uptown Funk was apparently stolen from a group called The Sequence, which Angie Stone was a part of.
He stole the melody or the lyrics?
The lyrics of the hook.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I don't know how true it is, but in my eyes, man, Angie Stone, she's bitter, she's washed out. I mean, she saw what happened with D'Angelo.
And also,
she's just grasping at straws.
It's been like, what, a hit for like a year?
Why only come out now?
And it was a hit straight out the gate.
Yeah, right?
So it's not like it built up and 6 months later she could come
out.
So like, nah, I don't really
a whole lot of fishy stuff. You don't believe this?
I don't really believe it, man.
You think she's lying, grasping at straws?
Yeah.
Shame, man. Shame on you, Angie Stone. Kanye West, who's been in the news since God knows how long.
This is my favorite.
So, crazy enough, the Tidal subscriptions doubled after Kanye West released The Life of Pablo.
Okay, yeah, obviously.
Right.
But.
Yeah. There's always
you know where
a
I'm
but.
Going. You know where I'm going with this.
I think I know where you're going. Let me know where you're going.
But I wanna know the figures, like how many people like stopped using it.
Yeah.
Like a month later or whatever.
Yeah.
Let's check like a couple of months from now. How many of those new subscribers are active?
Are still on there.
On there.
And the crazy thing is they're projecting that because of these new members of Tidal, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Tidal is going to make $50 million.
Jeez.
But what confuses me is the first month is a trial basis.
Yeah.
So no one actually pays. So do they actually think that all of these people are going to stay on Tidal for that long?
I think Jay-Z is just being a bit naive, man.
Nah.
Yeah, because there's the problem I have with this is what's an Apple One?
Apple Music.
Apple Music.
Yeah.
It's if you've used both.
Yeah.
It's just better.
Yeah.
And the thing with Tidal is because they're trying to make it this exclusive thing.
Yeah.
They're actually excluding a lot of people.
Yeah.
With that and. I don't know how it started off because they wanted to make it like high def audio.
Yeah.
And now they're switching it, trying to make it like a Live Nation, Rock Nation type thing with live shows as well. I think that's where they're going to make money.
Because live shows.
Yeah, because like say if Beyonce has a show, it's really hard to get a ticket. But if you're a Tidal member, you might get
just
one
like
of the first.
What they did when they streamed the Yeezy Season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way they can really. I don't know how they're going to make money from.
Cause I know, man. Like, I would just hop on, get the album, listen to it, and I look. I'm a Kanye fan, but it's not his greatest work. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm over this anyway.
Yeah.
And
I just don't think like they thought this one through, man.
Yeah.
Just long term.
I actually saw a tweet the other day from Cizo Romo, and he was saying, "Yo, guys, just make sure you remind me to deactivate my subscription just in case I forget." Yeah. You know?
I talked to him a lot, and I told him that was mean.
But it's it's true, man. It's true, man. So I wonder what's going to happen with Tidal, but I think these numbers are inflated. I don't think they'll really last. I think they're just going to keep going down. And, ish, man. Unlucky.
And I want them to win so bad, but I just.
Who's Tidal? Yeah. I want Jay-Z.
Yeah, I want Jay-Z and Kanye and Beyond. I want all of them to win. I just don't think they.
This platform,
man. Exactly, man.
It's not the one.
It's not the one.
Speaking of the life of Pablo, Kanye West this week said that the deluxe version is going to be sold in physical copies. As much as he said, the life of Pablo will never be sold. Now he's changing his mind.
But guys, this is the thing. When you, Kanye knows every time, he can tweet like a full stop. Yeah. And you'll get 100,000 retweets. Yeah. Everything he does is news. So because his tweet started off crazy, like, and I was like, all right, he's just being a bipolar dude, you know, being a genius. But he kept doing it. Then I was like, all right, this guy, Kanye is smart. It's a marketing thing. He knows as long as he tweets, people are going to talk about this album. Yeah, so definitely. What he's, as long as he's just making outlandish statements, come on, man. If you just use logic, you'd be like, nah, he's just saying this for this. Like, if you go through his timeline, it's phenomenal, man.
I don't think much of it makes sense, but it is interesting.
As a marketing, because I'm just thinking from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
Because none of it makes sense, but he knows it's gonna. People are gonna keep talking about the life of Pablo as long as he just says stuff. He can say anything, and people will talk about it. It's insane, dude.
I was actually reading some article. It really sounded like gossip to me, but you never know how true these things are. Apparently, Kim, his wife, is pissed off about his tweets.
I don't think so, man. Because she like to post pictures.
She made social media a thing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a lie. I think she actually probably like hit send on after he writes the tweet.
Do you think maybe that's also another part of the marketing strategy that you were talking about?
Yeah, it's a dude. Think about Kim Kardashian, one of the greatest. Marketing, like the Kardashian family, when you just look at it in marketing terms, in the last 10 years or whatever, it's no one better than them.
They can sell anything.
Yeah, and with this, the reason I don't believe this is because they love attention too much, both of them. Like, it just doesn't make sense to both of them. Just love tweeting. They love being active. So. And also, she posts pictures of him as well. If she didn't tweet and he kept tweeting, I'd have been like, yeah. That kind of makes sense, but they tweet at the same time. They're active, man.
Crazy, you know?
And no one understands social media better than her because she kind of ran with this thing. She's running Twitter right now.
It goes back to an interview of Kanye that I once watched where he was like, "There's no TV ad in the world that'll get more numbers, more views, more impact than if myself and my family." Tweet or Instagram something at the same time.
I think he's right. So right now, he's definitely right. Like if, dude, if Kim Kardashian like had to tweet the link to the show, it's over. Capital's gone.
I'm going overseas, baby. All right, now to a dude who I kind of like. You know, I really like this dude actually. Future
that's my dude.
He's working so fucking hard. He is sitting on 3 R&B albums right now that are just waiting. 3 albums worth of material. And he also became the fastest rapper to have 3 projects chart at number 1 on the Billboard 200 with DS2, What a Time to Be Alive, as well as Evil.
He had a phenomenal year, man.
Yeah.
He had a monster year.
And I feel like it's only the beginning, man.
Yeah, because he Drake gave him that. That new, that push,
that
you know that Drake effect is real, man.
It's real, right?
You're getting that white girl money now.
I saw something though. There was an interview with Future where they asked him. So tell us about. They asked him a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
And then they were like, "Yo, man, so tell us about your collaboration with Drake on What a Time to Be Alive," and he was like, "It never happened."
What?
And they were like, "What? It never happened. I don't know what you're talking about."
I kind of get why he's saying that. Because, you know, they recorded it in like, what, 5-6 days?
Yeah.
And for that, like when it came out, it basically like destroyed the internet, right? It broke the internet.
Yeah.
And I listened to it for like maybe a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then it was great for that time. Like, it was, I loved it then. But now I'd maybe play like 2 or 3 tracks. So for him, he's probably thinking like, yeah, it was fun then. Yeah. But like in my discography, I wouldn't say it's my it's like a DS2 or whatever, because DS2 he crafted it over a few months, a year, whatever. Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to say. Unless he's trying to say that, yo, I don't mess with Drake anymore. Yeah,
you never know. You never know. You
but I think they're still tight though, because Drake.
I know Drake keeps shouting him out, but I haven't seen Future shout him out.
But also another thing, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Because people keep calling, like, it started recently, calling Drake a wave jacker. Like,
he borrows your swag. Yeah. Makes you bigger.
Yeah. There's something to that, but I feel like he also helps everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
But
definitely.
But you know what's fucked up about that is after Drake hops on your joint, like the Versace, the McConan joint.
Yeah.
Did he put any of those people on his albums?
Nah.
Exactly.
Okay, now my question is, do any of those people deserve to be on a Drake album?
Yeah, but no, they don't. But what I'm saying is, there's something to it, but I think the reason Drake just, like, it doesn't apply to Drake is he gives you so much in return. Like, if Drake had to feature with an underground rapper, like, you're getting a new market, man. You're getting suburban white girls.
So then here's my thing. If he remixes your joint and he makes it bigger than it was already, like he did with Versace, like he did with Tuesday, why do you still want to be on his album, dog? You got what you got out of a Drake feature.
But this is what he does. He befriends you. Like, it's...
Takes your juice.
Yes. So it's like he's selling you a dream, and then he just switches up, changes his number.
Oh man, that's crazy. Wow.
But I'm a Drake fan though.
Yeah, till the death. I don't care. He can be a wave jacker or whatever. He's the most. He's the best, man. Yeah. He's the best right now. Wale reportedly dropped $1.1 million on Uber in 2014.
You think Wale has that much guap to drop?
Look, I don't doubt that he's got the guap, but I'm saying, like, where's he going for $1.1 million in a year? You know, so he was asked about it on Twitter, and they were like, "Oh my god, like, what are you doing for 1.1?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "I don't know, going to French Montana's crib and staying for dumb long while the meter was on a few times." I personally think he's lying.
He's lying.
And number two, dog, like, once you get out of the Uber, end the trip. The driver ends the trip.
It doesn't make sense. So, none of this makes sense.
Man, like, Wale.
Yeah.
Wale, dog, you're making us look
even
bad.
A thousand would be like, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
Dollars, dog.
Dollars. That's what? A thousand is like, what, 16K? Nah, Wale's talking shit.
Or maybe it's all the hookers coming to the crib, you know, kicking them out in the morning.
And he has a bar about Ubering girls to, like, one of his spots. I think that's it. It's all these girls that he's Ubering to his hotel rooms.
The fucking Uber girl from Bloemfontein. Wale, come on, dog. Come on, dog.
Nah, I'm buying it.
So last week, I reported that Paul McCartney couldn't get into Tiger's Grammy after party. And you couldn't get in. Yeah, he was bounced.
Yeah,
I saw the video.
But also, what are you doing there, Paul?
Come on, he's a Beatle.
Come on, have some self-respect, man.
He was Beatle and he was drunk.
I feel like the bouncers were probably like, "Yo, Paul, man, you're Paul McCartney.
Go home, Paul.
You don't have to do this. You know when you want to talk someone out of doing drugs or something bad?
Like, you have so much going for you.
You're white, Paul.
Wow." So apparently Tiger didn't know about it. He reported this week, I woke up to a series of texts and saw the article on TMZ. And he was like, "Yo, it's crazy."
I would have been happy if I was Tiger, man.
Right?
I would have met Paul McCartney.
Imagine. But what he did do, though, is he invited Paul to his next show in LA on the 26th.
Okay, wait.
So.
Is Paul McCartney a Tiger fan?
I don't know.
Because if he goes to another show and
he's
a Tiger fan, then I'll be like, oh, okay.
Yo, man, they say music evolves, man.
maybe he sees something in Tiger that we don't.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. I like Tiger's first album.
No, I love Tiger's first album. Okay, and the tape.
Yeah, which one?
But
he had a couple of
he has good tapes.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
My relationship with Tiger is very similar to my relationship with Meek Mill. Man, I love the tapes in the beginning. I love the first album. What happened?
I don't know.
You know?
I think he needs to grow dreads or something.
Switch up, man. Switch up. Leave the Kardashians for good or something, you know? Tiger did invite him to the next show, and he says he's personally going to walk him in. So let's see if Paul McCartney
I don't think Paul McCartney's.
Yeah, neither.
He's like chilling with Obama and shit.
And he's sober now, because he was drunk when he was trying to get into the party. He's like, fuck, I tried to get into this dude's party?
Or maybe he thought he was going to see a Tiger or something, right?
like a Tiger show.
Like Paul McCartney at a Tiger show. Just That just doesn't make sense to me.
Right? The game, after seeing Kanye's tweets, vowed to invest $10 million into Kanye West ideas if Kanye West came to skydive with him in Dubai. He was in Dubai last week.
This is basically another way Game try to name drop someone, because he always does that. He always has
to. You think so?
Oh, yeah, man, but why does he... The Game does not have $10 million to just give away like that. I don't believe it.
You don't think so?
You think he has like $100 million?
I don't know, maybe like a 50.
Dude, if I have 50 million, I'm not giving anyone 10.
But you're also investing because you're going to get some back.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, looking at Kanye's tweets.
But I mean, the Game is someone who does know Kanye on a personal level, so maybe he understands.
I think the Game was fully... he's just trying to ride Kanye's wave right now. He knows Kanye is. Kanye is popping, man.
So the Game tweeted Kanye at Kanye West and tell him, I'm not Mark Zuckerberg, but I got 10 million US dollars to invest in his ideas if he comes to Dubai and skydives with us tomorrow. Let's see how far over the jump man he's
also another
jump.
Thing. Kanye has more money than the Game. Yeah. And Kanye's wife, Kanye's like little sister-in-law, probably has more money than the Game. So this is why this doesn't, like, if when Kanye was talking about people he wanted money from, he mentioned like Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He didn't mention other rappers. He mentioned people that own shit. Like, this is why this, I feel like Game was just trying to, it was like, all right, I want some of Kanye's wave right now. He wanted some retweets.
So do you think Game is irrelevant and he's trying something
I think in the modern hip hop game, nobody's really, like, unless you really love Game.
So I know the girls love him.
Because he became an Instagram honey.
Yo, man, like, I'm tired of him posting these dick pics and shit. Like, come on, dog. Yeah. You ain't got to do all that, Game. Yeah,
You're 40, bro.
The Game did reunite with XG Unit member Lloyd Banks while he was out in Dubai.
That's dope.
He was out there doing a tour and Lloyd Banks was out there doing a party. Noticed the difference. His Banks fell off. But anyway, Game was like, yo, man, let's go out to this Lloyd Banks party, man. So he went out there and they hung out. They even took a picture together. And apparently it was all good vibes, man. And he further went on to say that he still speaks to the likes of Young Buck. The only person he's got an issue with is 50.
Obviously.
Yeah, but 50's a dick, man. I still love him nonetheless, though.
Yeah, I love,
you know?
50, man.
Yeah, 50's that bully that you have to love.
50 is the Mike Tyson of rap.
Nah, like, yeah, just a bully. Does whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah,
and when he came out, it was quick, man.
Yeah.
50's run wasn't... but the impact he had.
Yeah,
like, if you think about Tyson's run, it wasn't an Ali until he was 40. It was very quick, but you still remember it. Like, Get Rich or Die Trying. If you play it now, it takes you back.
Yeah.
You, back when you were young and you're listening for the first time. But also, 50 after the second album, it was... that's why it was...
The massacre.
It was, but it's one of the greatest runs ever.
As it may have been.
Like, he made like $300 million in like 4 years, man.
Yo, I remember that dude sold $4 million first week.
Yeah.
That,
we will never see anything. Look how hot Drake is right now.
Yeah,
it's nothing compared to what 50 was. So hot that he made Tony Ayo go platinum.
Wow. Damn. Shots fired.
Drake can't even make a party go platinum. Yo. I'm just saying, the hottest rapper now compared to 15 years ago when 50 was the big thing. That's why you need to put 50s like running. It was insane, dude.
But I mean, like, not to take away from what you're saying, I kind of agree that 50 was hotter.
Yeah.
But in terms of the sales, we are in an age where there is more piracy and that kind of thing. So sales are going to be lower. But nonetheless, I hear what you're saying. But
I love 50, man, but he's an asshole.
50 was actually ordered to come into court because you know how last year he went bankrupt, blah blah blah.
Yeah, I read some stuff about that.
Yeah, so some judge saw his Instagram and he was just chilling there with stacks of money everywhere and shit. And so she was like, yo, I need you to come see me.
Yeah.
So he was ordered to come into jail. I think it's next week sometime.
Ah, man. So and he did shit like go to court with a Casio G Shock. The same one that I got.
What a G.
He probably has like 7 new blows.
Bringing shit back home, DJ Switch is getting ready to launch his brand new single. It's called Now or Never. It features Shane Eagle, Reason, Proverb, and Questa. And I've heard word that the aim with this song is to take it back to the rap, to the bars.
Just
to the,
looking at the names.
You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see these heavyweights with one of the new guys, actually. Yeah. You know, so
and I like how Reason is rapping as he's getting older.
But I think Reason's always been a rapper. Like in terms of the bars, he's always had.
Yeah, he always had. But I'm saying like just he has the bars, but he's it's like you know when you see someone that has mastered what they're good at.
Yeah.
And now he's just playing around with it. It's like he has nothing to prove now.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Yeah, definitely. MVD is bringing Cool back. Like. Yo, man, I love what they're doing right now. So they started Trap Tuesdays, I think it was beginning of this month.
Yeah.
Every first Tuesday of the month, they throw a party up out at Privé in Sanson.
Yeah. I'm a trap guy, but is it like
trap music?
Is it like because is it like surface level trap or is it that?
It's everything.
It's that.
Like it's so, yo, it's trap the whole fucking night.
Ah, okay.
So you're gonna run out of the commercial shit. You're gonna dig deep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you need to.
So yeah, man, it's something different. You know what I mean? So I think the people that go there, I went to this past one, and the people that go there with an open mind. You know, you're not gonna get what you get at a regular club, night, which is pretty cool.
And you can have so much fun, man. Trap music just it's undeniable, man.
And bad bitches love trap music. Shout out to all the bad bitches. they also threw a house party this past Saturday in Houghton. I didn't make it out there, but apparently it was crazy.
Working, man.
Shout out to them for just doing shit that's different out of the club. You know, like
I love the Trap Tuesday idea. That's
on
dope.
A fucking Tuesday, man. Yeah. That's crazy, man. Shout out to them. Family Tree Fridays is back. So what that means is the Family Tree Camp is going to be dropping a brand new song every Friday. I'm not sure for how long, and it started this past Friday with Nadia Nakai, who's recently been signed to them. And yeah, she dropped a single called Money Back.
So they're doing the Good Fridays.
Yeah, basically. I remember they did it last year sometime.
I haven't heard her single. How is it? Is it good?
Yeah, it is.
So and
it's one of the better Nadia joints.
The problem with taking that Good Friday template.
Yeah.
The standard for Good Friday was so high.
Yeah.
Can they keep that? Because like, I remember listening to a Pusha T interview.
Yeah.
On Ali Shaheed Muhammad show, and he said like Kanye would push them like the day before, like Thursday, he was still writing his verse, and Kanye was like, "I want those songs by 4 a.m. Like, and they had to send like an unmixed version, and then he'll tell him, "Nah, go rewrite that shit." Like so, that's why. Like you remember how hot that shit was when it popped. Every song was dope. That's why the album.
Cruel Summer
didn't have the impact because they gave all the joints away.
Yeah,
they gave all the joints away. But that because they had everything to make a really great album. But they suffered because of the Good Friday thing because they gave all the dope joints away. But the standard was really high. If Casper's gonna do this, he has to
be done properly, no?
Yeah. But like if you say Nadia's song was good, then they're off to a good start.
Yeah, man. So shout out to them. All the best with that.
Who else is signed to Family Tree?
Family Tree is Casper, Nadia Nakai, Gemini Major.
Uh-huh.
I like Gemini, man.
Yeah.
I think Gemini is dope. Tsicho. Who else? Yeah, I think that's it.
He's doing the Cash Money thing.
Yeah. I've heard some rumors. I don't know how true this is, but apparently, okay, Malum Cool Cat is set to be released this week. And yeah, man, apparently
that's
he's
my
coming
dude.
Back home, man.
That's
so,
my dude, man.
Yeah, man. He confessed, he pleaded guilty, so he was aware of, you know, the wrong that he had done.
Yeah.
Not condoning his actions in any way, but yeah, man.
I know, man. He owned up.
Yeah, he owned
manned up.
You know,
that's all you can
time.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Speaking of of Good Fridays, man. I'm actually going to play one of the joints from Good Friday. Christian Dior, Denim Flow. And yeah, on the other side of that, we're going to be hanging out with Gigi LeMain telephonically and finding out what she's been up to, man.
So, this is CliffCentral.com.
Counselor, woke up in the room and my mojo was active. Looks from the holes that were more than likely passive. Back when, let me not reflect from the ocean. I'm on to the new act, on to my new script. Bitches, but they have their thoughts before approaching. I done heard it all, baby, save it for them other niggas. Do things all before living, they just copy
it. Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
This is the Capital Wrap Up. It's 39 minutes past 3, and I am still hanging out with Joao Matthews.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're talking shit, but we do have Gigi LeMain on the line. Hey, yo, Gigi, what up?
What up?
Gigi? Oh, man. Okay, we're just having a bit of a problem out here. Technical difficulties.
It happens. You know, Messi also misses one-on-one sitters, man. It's okay.
Yo. Gigi, can you hear me? Are we good?
Hello.
Yo. There you are. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, what up, man? We're just having a bit of technical difficulties. You good?
I'm good.
So we're doing this crazy thing where we're gonna have this complete interview over the phone, man. We've never done that before on the Capital Wrap Up, but that's what technology is about. So we're about to, you know, we're about to be crazy. I am hanging out with Joao. Say what up to Joao.
Hi, Joao.
Hey, what's up, Gigi?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm a fan.
Thank you.
You just made us smile. Great way to start the interview.
Exactly.
All right, Gigi, let's get straight into it, right? I want to know,
What
is your government name, firstly, and how do you move from your government name to a nickname like Gigi LeMain?
My
can't be asking people their government.
I have to.
My full name is Genesis Gabriella Gina.
What's that?
Genesis.
Okay.
Gabriella,
yeah.
Gina.
Okay.
And.
Yeah.
And the LeMain is from the Gabriella.
Okay.
And my surname Manny.
Oh.
So that's how I
creative.
That's yes. So you basically just broke your entire name up and just made a new name from your name.
Exactly.
swag.
No, I'm too lazy to do that.
Now I first saw you at the Hip Hop Awards. I think it was in 2003. I mean 2013.
Yo, I was like,
2013. Yeah. My bad. Well, I think that was the year you won Best Female. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I first saw you, you had already seemed like you were quite a polished artist, but you hadn't really blown up by then. So what were you doing, and when did you actually start getting involved in hip hop?
2013 was actually my first year at Birds. And I have to kind of like concentrate on that. But I'm done now and I'll be graduating in March. But I started with hip hop at like 16. But I was into poetry before.
So
poems published, and then I just didn't find it difficult to write. And we were already, I mean, I have an older brother and we're already listening to a lot of hip hop. And I just started experimenting with it and I just got really good at it.
And out of curiosity, were you good at English in high school?
Very.
I can tell. The poetry, the writing. Yeah, okay.
And congrats on the degree, man. We need more rappers with degrees.
Yeah, shout out. I saw your marks, man. Didn't you get something like 4 A's or something ridiculous like that?
It was X3.
Sorry?
That was X3 for the whole year, but...
Yo, the network is just a bit bad out here, man. So we're just trying to do the most.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I saw your marks regardless. They kicked ass, man. Shout out to you, man.
Thank you.
So you say you started rapping when you were 16. I was still in high school. Now, did you ever get bullied, called names like tomboy, like told that, yo, this shit is not for girls, blah, 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 all of that?
Yeah, I think for me, what was worse was I was a tomboy who was like really nerdy as well. So, I mean, like, I got twice the check. Like, it's just pit or like, you weren't very normal.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You're hanging out with the guys, but you're reading a lot of books. So, yeah, it was quite awkward for me. I was bullied a lot.
Yeah.
But I think, I think nice how things turned out, you know? Now, like, I'm so sorry and stuff. It's really cool now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I was listening to your mixtape, actually. And tell us about the mixtape, firstly, before I ask you this question. Like, what went into it? Why did you feel like now was the time to put out the mixtape? And yeah, okay, man, tell us more about the tape.
The mixtape is called Ground Zero, and it was basically the third installment of my trilogy of mixtapes. So,
okay.
Campaign, and then Color of Rain, and then now be Ground Zero. And Ground Zero, they the get ready for album. I mean, a lot of people don't want to put the album, and they really worry about how the album is going to start.
Yeah.
Can
you just move around there a bit, because the network is just, it keeps coming and going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not a hoarder of music, and I believe in putting stuff out. And
yeah.
I mean, for me, that was just me getting amped up for the album, which is dropping in July.
In July. Okay,
so,
do you have...
Ground Zero, the name is no coincidence, sort of like starting from the bottom, although people don't really feel like I'm at the bottom. I do.
Yeah.
So, in terms of where I want to. Well, I want to see myself.
So yeah.
Ground Zero is really the startup for me.
Okay, cool. And getting into, before I ask you about the album, you have Ntabi on the intro of your tape. And for those who don't know, Ntabi is one of the greatest to have ever done it, you know, in terms of local rappers. And what did that mean for you, like, seeing one of the female greats? Look, I hate breaking this up between male and female.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is a bit inevitable. So...
Yeah, no.
What did it mean to have someone like her come through and show love, and what did you feel when you heard what she had to say about you?
I grew up listening to Ntabi, you know.
Yeah.
She's always been sort of like the yardstick for me with everything I do. So I mean, everybody knows that Ntabi would take on your voice, you know, like your reasons and stuff. And
yeah,
she's always been respected. So for me, it's not even like, shout out to all the ladies doing it, but like Ntabi was that person for me, that person I really wanted to be like, you know. And I think if she was still doing it the way she would give me like a proper run for my money.
so these other girls not giving you a proper run? What you saying?
She's flexing, aren't you?
Well, no, that's not what it was. The boys were still missing.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I still love about her, and I'd really like to do a joint with her eventually, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, no, man. That was one of the best parts.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How has your writing evolved from when you were 16 to now, to up to this tape? How has it changed? Like, how did you write back then when you were rapping at school to yeah. when you were making this tape?
I think one, the place that I'm in currently is, I don't know, you just have to mature in the sense that now you can't really talk about like slicing people's heads off and like
battle,
you know,
raps.
What I'm saying? Like the slices that we used to do at Gandhi Square, you know, the Gandhi Square rap, you sort of like have to evolve now and talk about love and
bright songs, basically.
But just content. I mean, the change in content, because you're growing up, you're becoming wiser, you're learning a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
About yourself and about the world around you. So I feel like it's just a more mature sort of like perspective of the world now.
Yeah.
You know, when it's not just like, you know, I'm in a cipher, I'm freestyling, and it's about how good, it's no longer about the skill, but about the content now.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
She's
for me now.
She got it.
Yeah.
She figured it out.
Yeah.
So now we touched on something now, and we didn't really get into it. I've heard different stories. Apparently, all the girls doing it are cool. Apparently, there's some cattiness. I don't want the sugar-coated story.
Yeah, give us that. Yeah.
If there's a girl out there that you don't vibe with, or if they don't vibe with you, like, what's the situation? Like, let's
No, not even. Like, you know? I'm the youngest. Well, I think I'm the youngest currently doing it. And, yeah. Guys, it is what it is. Like, everybody's in their own lane. And I just think sometimes society's perceptions of the fact that there can only be one female doing it at a time.
Yeah.
Totally distorts the idea of female MCs. And it's almost expected that people are going to fight
with
each other. I think there is tension, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, not with with the older girls. With the older girls, there's tension, but I think I prefer where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Just doing my own thing. And at the end of the day, there will be tension in terms of you being seen as a threat, you know, people trying to sort of like block you out a bit or whatever. But
Rappers, it is what it is, man.
We'll just have to see how things pan out.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think it's a great time for hip hop. Yeah. The past 3 years has been a great time.
Definitely.
For hip-hop, so we'll see.
Definitely. All right. Now, 2 years ago, you went to, was it Miami?
A year ago. Yeah.
Was it a year ago? You went to Miami. What were you actually doing out there, and what did you learn, and what did you pick up from that trip?
I had won a competition with a particular beverage, and the prize was basically them sort of like helping me start up my career, but also trip to Miami. And I was mentored by a whole lot of people in the industry, your Osquitos, the Antwoord, the PR people and stuff. So I got to go see them perform at the Ultra Fest. It's like a whole lot of things.
You got to see the Antwoord perform at Ultra.
Yes.
That is fucking epic.
That's bad.
Yeah, no, it was. And I mean, it's just so sad how little we appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah.
The first thing they always mention when they get on stage is that they're South African, and you know they're doing this for South Africa. And it's just a pity that we totally like disregard how big they're doing things and how they inevitably are representing us. So, damn. I mean, I just learned a lot from them, you know, in terms of being an artist, but also being a person and where I'd like to see myself eventually. So,
okay. And more recently, tell us about your relationship with Kuli Chana. How did that come about? And
I stalked Kuli for a while.
You stalked him?
I stalked him for like 3 years.
Okay.
Kuli saw me performing at another like sort of a hip hop competition.
Okay.
I came out second and I was like a little girl versing big men and stuff. And he came to me backstage and was like, you're really good. How old are you? And we spoke a bit. And soon enough, it's kind of weird how things happen, but like, I started working with the same producers. I started almost like working around the same people that he was working around.
Was this intentional?
No, it wasn't.
Don't lie, Gigi.
But like, it wasn't really like that. We just kept bumping into each other all the time.
Yeah.
And after that, I mean, then he was like heading up the competition. He was one of the styles of the competition, and he was one of the judges for it, and he was there again.
Yeah.
And this time for that competition I won.
Okay.
And he was like, yo, I really want to work with you. Let's see what we can do. And then ever since then, he sort of like assumed a good brotherly role, you know, like mentoring me, listening through to the stuff I do, correcting me and stuff. So that's how he
That's crazy.
That's
man.
Amazing, man.
Yeah.
What a great story. She basically did what J. Cole did with Hov.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I kept on like beating him up and giving him my take.
Yeah.
Like, yo, he's gotta,
that's what. That's what. Instead of,
he was just like, oh my gosh, it's a fall again.
instead of tweeting people the links to your tape, go out there and stalk Kuli Chana, man.
Exactly.
Only if you dope though.
Only if you dope.
Only if you dope.
You gotta have bars.
Exactly. So yeah, that's how that happened.
Okay, cool. So you just recently, we don't have much time left with you, but you recently put out a brand new music video featuring WTF. So tell us, that's the lead single off the mixtape, yeah?
Yeah, It's just
a single of the mixtape.
One of these singles. Okay. It's something we're dropping at the end of March, titled Choose Us Number 2 on Ground Zero.
Okay.
So, it's just gotten to a point where all the songs are really good and so many people are vibing with so many things. I think we might just be putting out a whole lot of visuals with that. And then obviously we're dropping Genesis, the album, in July. It features your Ricky Ritz, it features your Duncans, it features your Chicanas, it features like a whole lot of amazing artists. Who I'm very glad to have worked with. And Proverb, how could I forget a Peaches Proverb? Had to feature Proverb and Coolie. Yeah, so I'm just really excited about that. And El Tito, sorry. I keep
Those are some really big names, man.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. And I mean, for the mere fact that they believed in what I was doing, you know, and they came through and they're like, yo, let's work and do something.
Yeah.
I really think it's going to go down as a very good project.
Okay, well, shout out to you, man. All the best. And before we do let you go, is there one thing that you want to tell us? And remember that this is raw, this is uncensored. So what the fuck is on Gigi LeMain's mind?
No, I just want to get the mixtape to 100,000. We're sitting on 60,000 now in less than a week. So that's really amazing.
Yeah.
But I really like it. It's 100,000. Yeah, and thank you so much to everybody supporting us. We hope to see you out at those other awards this weekend. Just have a whole lot of fun, you know, and let's make history. That's really what I think.
So just plug, where can people get the mixtape?
The mixtape is online. It's on ggilemain.co.za. I've just launched my own website.
Yeah.
Digital platform. There'll be merchandise sold there. Just a whole lot of things. There'll be ggilemain TV. Just a whole lot of funny things we're trying to do. Trying to really digitize the brand. So just so people feel like they're closer to me. So ggilemain.co.za. People can find everything there.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Gigi.
Thank you so much.
And tell me, I'm going to play out with one of your songs. What's your favorite song off the Ground Zero mixtape?
Shisa right now.
Shisa's your favorite song?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I am going to play out with that. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, yeah?
Thank you for having me, guys.
All right, cool.
Can I make another request?
I'm listening.
No. Instead of Shisa, let's do Feasible 4.
Okay, cool. Shep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Perfect.
Bye.
Ja, my dude. Anything you want to say in closing about anything?
Nah, man. I had fun rocking out because I'm always outside when you're doing your show. it felt like, you know, when your one neighbor that has DSTV in the hood invites you in.
So did you enjoy the DSTV? Are you tired of the compact or what's happening?
Man. I'm enjoying it, man.
man. Oh, actually, before we go, there are these three questions that came through that I have to answer. They were unrelated, which is why I waited so long to answer them. Wow. Okay. So, first one comes from Wanted Nkuna. He asked, "What's up, fam? Hope y'all good. Last week, y'all made comments about The Life of Pablo, and I looked it up on Apple Music, and I can't find it. Where did you get it?" Well, I hope if you were listening... Yeah.
Do you have the internet, bro?
Yeah, dog. Title, the internet. Go ham, dog. It's up there somewhere.
Do you follow Kanye?
KanyeWest.com. the other question that came through, other text came through. I don't know who this is from. It's from Full Stop, apparently. Capital Spill the Beans. Does Cyprian try to get booty from Boiti? This is odd, but no, he doesn't. We just work as one big happy family. And this last one from Gab. Cap, are you team Casper or are you team AKA? Man, when it comes to the moves, I'm team Casper. When it comes to the music, I'm team AKA.
Team AKA all day.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, anything you want to say?
Man, I just want to say AKA is the best rapper in South Africa.
I want to say I agree.
And I had fun today, man. Yeah. It felt good holding the DSTV remote in my hand.
Yo, my G, thank you so much for coming through and hanging with us. It has been the Capital Wrap Up. Next week, we are back Wednesday at 3 p.m. Same time, same place.
The most important kind of freedom is to be what you really are. You trade in your reality for a role. You trade in your sense for an act. You give up your ability to feel and in exchange put on a mask. There can't be any large-scale revolution until there's a personal revolution. On an individual level, it's got to happen inside first.
is CliffCentral.com.